107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Senate Democrats voted quickly to dismiss articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. They declared border security allegations didn't amount to high crimes and misdemeanors required under the Constitution. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The idea that the Senate and under Chuck Schumer's leadership voted on party lines to not even allow the American people to evaluate the evidence is shameful. I think it's a violation of their constitutional responsibility. And I think there'll be a reckoning for all this in the election cycle in the fall. I really do.
Any attempt by a Japanese company to take over U.S. Steel will be blocked, says President Biden to union steel workers in Pittsburgh. Lawyers for Brian Koberger, accused of stabbing to death four Idaho college students in 2022, plan to use cell phone tower data to show he was not at the home where and allegedly when the killings happened. The body of O.J. Simpson has been cremated after he died of cancer last week. This is ABC News. There's a catch to getting a free bottle of wine at this restaurant in Verona.
In Italy, Angelo Lella, the owner of Al Condominio, says tech is taking a bite out of the social experience of dining, telling The Guardian he's fed up with people turning to their phones instead of each other while eating. Now he's serving up a choice. Hold on to your phones or hand them over before sitting down and get a free bottle of vino with the meal. No one seems to be whining. Lella says 90% of his customers are choosing to sip red and white over texting and scrolling. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
A portrait of Winston Churchill is going on the auction block in June at Sotheby's in London. The painting by Graham Sutherland was made in preparation for a larger portrait commissioned by Parliament. The British Prime Minister famously hated it. It was sent to his home and never seen again. His family says it was destroyed. The smaller painting is expected to sell for between $622,000 and $995,000. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden and Donald Trump are in a tight race for Wisconsin's key electoral votes. 51% of likely Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette University Law School poll they plan to vote for Trump in November, 49% for Biden. As well within the poll's margin of error, the race changes very little with third-party candidates. Governor Evers says Republican lawmakers made a big mistake by not answering his call for a special meeting of the Joint Finance Committee Tuesday. Evers wanted them to release $125 million to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin's drinking water.
The people in the state of Wisconsin that are suffering are sick and tired of this.
Republicans fault Evers for vetoing the PFAS bill they sent him this spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers avoid the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Padres, bottom of the eighth, still no score. Milwaukee's Bryce Terang, the runner at second base. Blake Perkins comes up to bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ground ball left side, it's through base hit. Here comes Terang.
Wow, how about that? Blake Perkins, they bring the lefty in. That's his strong suit. side to right side.
The Brewers win 1-0 to avoid a sweep. Bryce Wilson, the starter, held San Diego scoreless, followed by the bullpen.
Our defense is, you know, it starts with Willie and William behind the plate, and you think about Bowers and Hoskins at first, and we got the best second baseman in baseball, and, you know, our third baseman have come through. Dunn had a good game defensively today, and Ortiz is learning the position, and he's spectacular there, and our outfield defense hasn't been great as we thought it would be, but defense is the best friend of the pitching staff. It all kind of works together, and then you give your offense a chance to work.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the low 40s. A few showers tomorrow morning, then clearing and breezy for the afternoon, high in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and low 50s on Friday. Sun, breezy, and around 50 Saturday, but to the upper 50s with more sun Sunday. Currently 54 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to answer your questions. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this segment of Native Roots Radio Network is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in Minnesota's little learners.
Absolutely, Haley. And, you know, we're excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count to host conversations focused on early childhood development. And we bring guests on each month to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities. And right away, that's just head off here. We got Janice LaFleau, who's the founder of MAICC and the former primary guide of the Children's House. And she's a member of Turtle Mountain Tribe. And we're excited to have her. And also LaVon Lee, who has been in with the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center since its inception in 2014 and is serving as director. Well, let's jump in to this right away because I have a lot of questions. And welcome you guys, and good to see you, Janice. Janice, we have to talk. We can't wait. This is a radio show.
Sorry. Bonjour. Thank you, cool. Robert, for hosting us today.
Great to have you, and nice to meet you, LaVon.
Thank you. We've met. My hubby's John, so.
Cool.
But nice to meet you.
Your hubby's John Lee?
John Poopert.
Oh, we just had John on. That's awesome.
I know. I was asking him how this process works, so he was very helpful. But thank you, Robert. Awesome. I'm happy to be here.
Right on. Well, let's get to these questions so our listening audience can find out and understand what you guys do. Both of you have been deeply involved in the Montessori Indian American Indian Child Care Center since its inception. Would you elaborate on the importance of revitalizing language and culture? And I'll start with you first, Janice.
Thanks, Robert. We all know our mother tongue is formed in our early learning years. And so if we are truly
sincere in revitalizing our language, we have to expose our youngest children to our language. And I'm actually going to let LaVon share a little bit more about that significance. She's been investing in revitalizing language and culture for a little bit longer than I have.
Yes, prior to my work at the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center, I worked at the Grotto Foundation with their language revitalization initiative. And language is extremely important to our children. And what it does is it identifies who they are and where they come from. And when they're exposed to indigenous language at an early age, it creates a learning environment. It creates confidence. It creates pride in being American Indian. And it validates their identity and who they are. And we believe that through the integration of both language and culture into the Montessori teaching strategies, children are going to be stronger. They're going to be more confident. And we see that in our 10 years of serving children. They're proud of who they are. They love being Indian. They love being validated. They love being respected. And when they leave our school, they're ready for public school. They're ready for first grade, well-grounded in their culture and language, and also intellectually strong, which is what we want when we're preparing our children for public school. We all know that public education has not been kind to our children, nor successful in educating our children. And we're doing that right now.
Absolutely. And Janice, it's so important too, to we talk about early childhood with the neurons and the things connecting in your brain to learn two languages, and how important that is just to do that to early childhood development.
Absolutely. For a long time, people were scared, right, about the concept of two languages and thinking children would be confused by it. But research actually validates children who are brought up in multi-language environments develop an even greater capacity for creative thinking and problem solving and being more oriented to be accepting of other perspectives, because language is one of those foundations that give us that first opportunity to learn about a different perspective. And so when you talk about the significance of brain development, exposing children to all kinds of beautiful things in their early years is absolutely critical, so that they can develop as many possible neuron pathways between the left and the right side of their brain.
Wow. LaVon, do you have anything to add to that? Because
I don't. I just know that the children that we work with, they can hear a word in Ojibwe or Lakota, remember it, and enunciate it perfectly, much better than I can.
Wow.
Yeah, they have that elastic brain.
They have that ability.
Right. Where I'm on the other side of that hill, kind of heading down there, can barely remember my name sometimes. But that's a different show. Janice, can you tell us a little bit about your Montessori school? Because my Chujunk, Haley and I were talking about that, and Haley's friends with your daughter. And I was asking her a few questions that I didn't know. So you've been around since 2012. Is that correct?
2014, we opened in the fall of 2014. And so a little over 80 children, I'm very proud, which is about 60-ish, a little over 60 families have attended and participated at our Montessori Child Care Center and have been off. Our first group of children to graduate and go off to elementary are actually in middle school now. So wow. I'm really excited about, you know, where they are, who they are, how they're doing. So Montessori really is not exactly just a curriculum, because it's an entire approach to understanding development of children from before birth all the way to that time in their mid-20s when their brain is actually fully developed. Dr. Montessori studied children and development for a number of years, almost her whole entire life, to begin to articulate that children go through four stages of development. And in the early learning years, that's the first plane of development. And that's when the formation of who they are is established. So I think that that is a significant time in why we chose early learning and why we chose Montessori. We really do get to understand and recognize all of the aspects of development and want to surround our children with all of those beautiful things.
Wow, that was beautiful what you said there. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we got to pay the bills. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm with LaVon Lee and Janice LaFleau, along with producer Hal Cherry. How do you like that, Haley?
Love it. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Seward Co-op offers convenient grab-and-go options as well as hot bars and salad bars at both the Friendship and our newly remodeled Franklin store. Breakfast items are available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch is served all day every Sunday. Our weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight culinary traditions and cuisines from around the world. We offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free items every day. 90% of the ingredients used are from organic, local, and small-scale producers whenever possible. Learn more at seward.coop.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Hey, we are here with Janice LaFleau and LaVon Lee of Montessori American Indian Child Care Center, and we are talking about Montessori schools and how it helps with early development. Janice, can I just finish before I get to LaVon? I just want to finish a little bit more about specifically your Montessori school. And I have my Weeha is having twins. My twins are having twins. So we're multiplying here in the pilot gene. So that's four. No, wait, that's two. So her husband's Ojibwe and she's Ho-Chunk, of course. And looking into the Montessori, is there a cost to your school? What's the process to get somebody in your school, in your Montessori?
Thanks for asking, Robert. Of course, we are a licensed child care center, and so we do actually charge a tuition like most child care centers. They would first reach out and get an application. You can find an application for our school online at www.AmericanIndianMontessori.net. So the very first step is to actually fill out an application to attend the school. We will reach back and begin a conversation about what it is. There are things that are required as a licensed child care center. And then we can talk about what the financial needs of families are. There are public dollars available to help support low-income families. We also offer internal scholarships based on being over income for public scholarships. And so I'm always more than happy to begin a conversation. We never turn a family away who cannot afford to pay. And that's an important part of our mission.
Yeah, it is. Oh, wow. Thank you for that information. LaVon, as somebody deeply connected to the Ogallala Lakota Nation, could you share how Indigenous values are woven into the fabric of MAICC's educational approach?
Yes. Actually, we use not only Ogallala Lakota values in our seven teachings, but we also use the Ojibwe grandfather teachings as well. And those teachings, we do that by role modeling behaviors. We want our children to grow up kind. We want them to be generous. We want them to be giving, compassionate, show humility, have empathy for each other. And that's really important in our values. And we see that in our children every day. I can give you an example of a child one day that was feeling sad and just sitting alone. And three or four of the children just intuitively got up from the work that they were doing, went over to the child that was feeling sad, and they all kind of surrounded this child and hugged this child. And it was just so natural to do that. And that's part of our values. The values are integrated into the curriculum, into everything we do. And I just want to say that those values are extremely important to children's development. I think everybody is familiar with the boarding school era, and we know that children were removed from their homes. They were placed in boarding schools. They were removed from their communities, and they lost their culture. They lost their language. They lost their identity. And if you look at those old pictures in history books, you'll see photos of children with no smiles. Mm-hmm. You see the sadness in their eyes. And I can tell you that we see children coming to our school every day with smiles that want to be there. They're proud to be American Indian. They're confident and they know who they are. And that's all part of that spiritual, emotional, physical growth of our children. And that's so important to development. And we know that if you don't have that spiritual grounding, that connection to language and culture, it's going to be really hard to be successful in our school. And as I said earlier, our children are leaving us confident, and they're going to change the world for us.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, give me a lot of applause, Janice, for breaking the cycle that's been handed to us for generations. So that's a beautiful thing that you're doing.
Thank you, Robert. We have an overinvestment to make to compensate for the generations and to make up, right? So mm-hmm. I hope that's a lot of what we're able to do is to give them the best and the most beautiful opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, both of you are in the community. I see you all around. And I know, Janice, you work extensively in the American Indian community in St. Paul. Before mm-hmm. you're, you know, starting the Montessori journey, what strategies have you found effective in engaging parents and caregivers? Because I know as a former high school teacher here in the, it's hard to engage sometimes the parents.
Absolutely. it's really foundational because our little ones truly rely on their parents at this age, we work really closely and are in daily contact with families about how things are going and the kinds of things we want to promote at home. The stability of routine is absolutely critical. And we talk about that often. We actually have what we provide is a family nest. So we take it from that cultural perspective of working together. It takes more than Miss Janice and it takes more than the children's house. It takes the parents' cooperation and willingness. We've learned over the years that our parents are our best advocates. I don't do a lot of advertising because I have more than enough referrals coming in the door from our very happy, proud parents doing that advocating and referring for us. And so that's testimony to how much they actually embrace what we're doing, believe in what we're doing, participate in what we're doing, and see it in their children. And so those engagement strategies really is to accept parents and children where they're at and then begin a journey together. We talk about that often. We're not doing it alone. We're working on this together. So when children actually begin to start demonstrating some of those shifts and changes, parents immediately start saying, how did you do that? Why don't they do that for me? And so we have many conversations about how we can do it together.
That's awesome. And I'm wondering, too, because we're all over the country and we're on, 20 stations daily. Can you give your website or how to get a hold of you or your Facebook if there's people interested across the country in mirroring what you do?
Awesome. I've shared the website, but we are www.AmericanIndianMontessori.net. And we're located in St. Paul. You can reach us also by calling 651-478-1189. Our website has all of our staff and our emails to access as well. And we are very interested in spreading what we do to other communities, particularly our tribal communities. It's a big part of our vision to be the premier model. You can only be a great model if others are willing to follow. So we hope to focus our next 10 years on sharing what we do and why it's so special and why we believe it's important for more communities to take a look at how what we're doing can be done in their community.
Wow. Good words. We only got a couple minutes left. Lavonne, do you have any last words and
let our people know? I do. So I really want to do a shout out to the Yes for St. Paul Families campaign. We are a member of that coalition. And I think it's really important that families and grandmas and parents and uncles and aunties and extended families that have and really care about access to learning, affordable learning, opportunities for culturally relevant learning, go to the polls this fall and vote. I think childcare is extremely expensive. And as Janice said, we never turn a child away. But all children deserve access. So really encourage parents and family members, all those kinship systems that we have in our community, to go out and support this initiative. All of our children and all of our communities will benefit from this initiative.
Well, I agree, Lavonne, and we talk about Montessori schools and childcare, how much more those young ones are ahead of the game than people that can't participate in this. It's an amazing social experience for them, and they learn so much. Lavonne, you agree?
I do agree. And I'm just going to take one moment to say that the Montessori education is over 150 years old. It's a method that works in our community. It's child-centered. and the child is considered sacred. Montessori, just as we consider the child sacred. Many compatibilities between our culture and Montessori.
Wow. Janice, you got 30 seconds here. I just want to say I've been trying to get you on my show for 7 years. And
news from the center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Senate Democrats voted quickly to dismiss articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. They declared border security allegations didn't amount to high crimes and misdemeanors required under the Constitution. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The idea that the Senate and under Chuck Schumer's leadership voted on party lines to not even allow the American people to evaluate the evidence is shameful. I think it's a violation of their constitutional responsibility. And I think there'll be a reckoning for all this in the election cycle in the fall. I really do.
Any attempt by a Japanese company to take over U.S. Steel will be blocked, says President Biden to union steel workers in Pittsburgh. Lawyers for Brian Koberger, accused of stabbing to death four Idaho college students in 2022, plan to use cell phone tower data to show he was not at the home where and allegedly when the killings happened. The body of O.J. Simpson has been cremated after he died of cancer last week. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin leads the first Marquette University Law School poll since Republican Eric Hovde entered the race. The Democratic senator leads among registered voters 52% to 47%, while the race is tied among likely voters. About a dozen states are rolling back their child labor laws, and lawmakers are trying to do the same in Wisconsin. Labor leaders are pushing back. They say child labor laws help kids and families.
It's important for kids to get a good work ethic, but at the same time, these kids need to make sure that they are getting enough sleep, that they are be able to participate in their school, and really making sure that that balance is there.
Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Time magazine came out with its list of the most 100 influential people in the world, and the entertainment world is well represented. Deadline reports that Taraji P. Henson, Michael J. Fox, and several other celebs without middle initials, including Sofia Coppola, Coleman Domingo, America Ferrara, Maya Rudolph, and Jeffrey Wright, are also on the list representing the biz. There will be a big soiree celebrating the issue in New York City April 25th, and it will air May 12th on ABC. If you like the film Crazy Rich Asians, as so many people did, you'll have the opportunity to catch a live version. The film is being turned into a Broadway musical that will be directed by Wicked director John Chu. Chu directed the 2018 film and will make his Broadway directorial debut with the show. He is currently in post-production on the Wicked film that will have two parts. First chapter hits theaters this November. The Crazy Rich Asians musical is in the early stages of development. The 2018 feature film grossed $175 million at the U.S. box office. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight and a low in the low 40s. A few showers tomorrow morning, then clearing and breezy for the afternoon, high in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and low 50s on Friday. Sun, breezy, and around 50 Saturday, but to the upper 50s with more sun Sunday. Right now it's 53.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal: giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next show, I'm joined by Busted Pencils hosts Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci, magician Ron Lindberg, a.k.a. Rondini, and John Fanta from the Green Bay Rockers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are excited, as always. Now it's a full Ho-Chunk radio show happening right now, and we have our friend Arvina Martin, CEO and Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we love checking in our friends in Wisconsin and Madison and talking a little politics and what's happening with Emerge. Welcome, Arvina. We've missed you.
Oh, yeah. We have to have our 5/4 Ho-Chunk day.
Always.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It's been a bit.
I noticed too that, Haley said you weren't able to come on last week, and then all of a sudden it popped up in my feed that you were a star of some kind of you were a speaker at some kind of thing event happening. I'm going, of course she can't come on. She's busy doing her thing.
Yeah, I was speaking last Wednesday night at the an event for the Wisconsin Democratic Party, talking about Tribes 101. So we talked a little bit about sovereignty and what that means, and how sovereignty and tribal sovereignty are the same thing, and why tribal sovereignty is important, and why the concept of tribal sovereignty is different than what the federal government is peddling. And, how to work with tribes and how to work with Native communities and how to get Native people involved in political campaigns and get Native people to run for office and just getting people involved and how to do it in an appropriate way and respectful. So
it's when you say that too, Arvina, it's really exciting when you do run into a politician or a person that's a white ally and they get it. That really, really excites me. And it's work like you do and our ancestors and other people and the work that they put in too to learn. But when you do things like that, and I remember seeing your 101 on Native sovereignty when I was in Wisconsin, it's just amazing that people want to learn and in a good way. So bravo to you and bravo to the people that really get engaged with it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was telling people that, you know, even something as simple as learning how to say hello in that particular community in their language is kind of a nice little like first step, like you're making the attempt to learn and learn the language of the people whose land you live on. It is like just a first little tiny step, but it's one that people appreciate, because so few people do it, that sometimes some of these things that we think of or that people would think of as common courtesies are not so common and people are shocked at the reaction it gets, because one would think that acting in a certain way when reaching out to tribal communities or wanting to host events jointly with a tribal community or something like that, that the respect that is shown, you would think that more people would do that, but you would be wrong. there's a lot of people that just come in and, I mean, you guys know this, and they come in and demand, use of a space or demand someone come in and talk to their class about A, B, or C, and don't think anything about the time that they're asking or the emotional labor that they're asking somebody to do, or, asking someone to come in and say, we want to do a land acknowledgement and, yeah. does the tribe care? Like, why are you, you know, what's the point? What is your ultimate goal in doing this? And kind mm-hmm. of getting them to think about what their actions, you know, are they performative or are they actually helpful to the community that they're trying to build relationships with?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're here with Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. And, you know, I've been in discussion with the land acknowledgements, and I think we've been, it was exciting at first when asked to do that, you know, and now it's like you said, is this performative or are you making you feel better? And who's the land acknowledgement for? And I know in Ho-Chunk and, you know, here in Minnesota, the Ojibwe and Dakota know, and especially the Dakota here in Minnesota know that this is their land.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because people will come in and then, and you're like, yep, I sure feel acknowledged, like thumbs up, you know, great. Now what?
And, yeah,
exactly.
Well, what is your feeling about the Biden and Trump race in Wisconsin? Because I know what my feeling is, and I feel like we're all sick of the orange one hasn't won the last two elections, 3 million votes the first time and 8 million the next. And Wisconsin was a heavy duty partner in overthrowing him. And I feel like we are doing so much better, and the mass media is the one that's driving this race, talking about it being so close.
I think that Democrats in Wisconsin and, well, in Minnesota as well, but anybody who doesn't want to see a Trump second term is going to have to work really hard, and we're going to all have to do something, mm-hmm. whether that is making sure that we get to the polls ourselves, making sure we do that at least is going to be a big deal. Maybe we can help get some of our friends and relatives. Maybe we have some of our elder relatives that we can help get to the polls, or friends and relatives, you know, that have maybe they don't have cars, you know, giving people rides to the polls, or remembering to remind people, you know, just and then I'll get into where I think we're at. But like, okay. You know, when people there's so many studies that people do on behavior and voting behavior. And one of the biggest things that makes that will predict whether someone goes to the polls and goes to cast their ballot is if they make a plan to vote. So if you talk to me on election day and I've asked you if you have voted yet and you say you haven't, the next thing out of my mouth guaranteed on election day is going to be, oh, okay, so are you going to go vote on your way home from work? Okay, so mm-hmm. So you're going to stop by. So you're going to drive from work to your polling place, you know, before you pick up dinner, before you go home, and you help them make that concrete plan in their head. Wow. And then they're more likely to go vote. So anybody who ever talks to me on election day gets that conversation, and always, always, always. And then, you know, if they're like, oh, well, I don't know, or, oh, I got to do this. Well, then you help them problem solve and then help them make that plan. But I really think that given all of the policy concerns, thinking about all the tariffs that Trump wants to put into place that are going to make everything cost so much more. And you know, the biggest and most personal issue to me, I know we've talked about it, is reproductive health. You know, Wisconsin has one of those archaic laws about abortion that happened before, that was put into law before Wisconsin was a state, just like our let me go through all the states that start with A before I get to Arizona. but you know, though that's an issue that is very, very you know, important to so many people, and not just people who identify as women, you know, that it's going to be, it's such an important issue, and it affects all of us. And so we need to be talking about that, because, you know, we don't know what they're going to take after they take this. They're going to take birth control, and how many of us use birth control to manage symptoms for conditions that have nothing to do with giving birth. You know, it's what if we keep talking about issues like this, then Wisconsin and Minnesota are both going to stay blue. But we need to keep talking about these and how they affect our everyday lives, because they absolutely do. And they affect our children's lives. And, you know, it terrifies me. We're actually at Emerge going to be working on an event that we're going to be talking called Women Talk Politics Day. And you can look up womentalkpolitics.org, I believe. And it is going to be on May 2nd this year. And that is the 1 year anniversary of, or that is the anniversary, not 1 year, I'm sorry, the anniversary of the Dobbs decision. So we encourage all women to talk politics that day with your friends, and talk about how they affect you, because they do. Anybody who talks about, you know, I don't like to talk about it because it doesn't have anything to do with my life. You know, it does. It has everything to do with, you know, how you protect your health, how you look at your paycheck, how you afford all of your groceries and the gasoline that you put in your car. You know, all of these things are things that are going to be determined by the next election. I mean, and, you know, not to mention democracy as we know it.
absolutely.
To vote on the guy that said he would be a dictator on day one.
Yep, exactly. So. And his last presidency on day two, he signed the Dakota Access Pipeline, and he said, drill, baby, drill. That was the second day. That wasn't the third day. That wasn't the 10th day. That was the second day, and that was a direct attack at our native neighbors in the Dakotas.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Hey, we're here with Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. Whether it's cracks in your existing sidewalks, steps, chimney restoration, or a whole new project, you can trust our team to ensure satisfaction through detailed planning and precision. Native Concrete and Masonry is a Native American-owned business, and we have worked with our clients throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We work closely with our clients to accomplish our initiatives. Learn more at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? No.
I never know if I'm still on there when it's time.
Yeah. That was a little weak Wisconsin. There we go. Oh, it was a little baby.
A little pup.
Yeah, a little pup. Exactly. Oh, Wendy just howled in the other room along with her dog. Yay. Hey, let's talk a little bit. We are here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And our friend, Lieutenant Governor, was in Wisconsin this past weekend. And
yes.
What a rock star, huh?
Yes, I was so jealous. I was unable to make it because I have an old age injury. I have a lumbar something in my back that has slipped. And so I couldn't sit in the car to drive up to Black River. So I missed it. But I heard that she rallied all of the troops to kind of get people excited. And I think, did she also participate in one of the congressional district conferences or conventions? I don't know. I saw my Facebook feed was full of a lot of happy brown faces. Yeah. They saw her.
Well, I don't know if Haley can answer that because I don't know. We had her on as we usually do every other week, but it was fun because the Biden administration reached out to us again to have a special guest. And because we've had the vice president's husband on, and we've had, so we've been rocking and rolling. And then we get somebody that's normally on our show. It was kind of funny, but we took the opportunity.
Yeah. She's an outstanding surrogate. I really love, hearing her speak. I believe there was a speech that she did that I saw when the George Floyd protests were happening, and she was asking for people to remain, you know, to not be violent and to be respectful of each other. And the way she did it without like belittling or making the concerns of the people that were protesting, without making those concerns smaller, she just handled it masterfully and was in that moment, I thought, just such an amazing leader for Minnesota during such, you know, a hard and difficult time. I was so impressed with how she handled it and how she delivered a speech that was not only one that was supposed to have, you know, kind of a calming effect, but it was so respectful. And I just, you know, I thought she did a fabulous job. She's so great. Fangirl right here.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I start gushing over the Lieutenant Governor here in Minnesota, you guys in Wisconsin have a rock star. The past two Lieutenant Governors
are
rock stars.
Both of them, actually, you know, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes was outstanding. He had a wonderful relationship with tribes, and our current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is also doing a great job at building those relationships with tribes. I know one of her first trips was to go up to Oneida, and she just literally said, "I want to see what you guys are proud of. Show off what you know, what you want to show off." I mean, and that's such a great way to start and build a relationship, especially for an elected official, to see what your community is proud of. You know, everybody, you know, we get so caught up in the trauma porn and you know, the things that are not going well, that we forget to share our success stories and share off the resilience that our people have, because we sure as heck are resilient. We're still here, you know.
Wow, Arvina,
500 years later.
Arvina, we've really missed you. You know, we got a lot of people posting here on YouTube and Facebook how great it is to hear from you again. And we are trying to pull together with both lieutenant governors to come on at the same time. And then Haley and I will just sit back and let them interview each other, because they both really respect each other and work together with each other. And we are all so lucky. And I always tell the lieutenant governor Flanagan that she'll be our next state's or our next senator, and then possibly the first Native American president. And she was the first Native American to speak at the Democratic Convention, if I do remember, in 2016. So there's all these firsts with our lieutenant governor, and we're excited to call her friend and have her on the show as much as possible. I got a segue into this because we only have a few more minutes left. But did you celebrate Monday? I was so happy Monday because it was somebody had to go to court.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the WNBA draft.
Well, let's talk about that. That was a beautiful thing. And Minnesota Lynx got a Native American on the team, and we're reaching out to try and get her on. But yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that.
So here in Madison, we don't have a WNBA team here in Wisconsin, but you know, I noticed that within driving distance, we've got, you know, you guys getting Alyssa Peely, who is Polynesian and Inupiaq up there by you guys, and then Angel Reese down in Chicago. And then there was another one whose name I don't remember, who is also outstanding. Haley is racking her brain.
Oh, I am blanking on it too.
Cardozo or something like that.
Oh, yes, that is the right last name. I can't think of her first name right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to come up and get tickets and like buy some jerseys, and I hope they make some jerseys that are inspired by her heritage, because I want some of those ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, that was really exciting, and I was really been following the women's basketball more than men's basketball the past few years, college basketball. I think it's a better, more pure game, and really been exciting to watch. And I'm one of the 14 million, you know, and 18 million people that have watched the Final Four and the final game this year.
Those games were all really exciting. I watched more women's college basketball during March Madness than I watched men's this year. It was just, it was more entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. And that's ride that wave and support these teams and get them on national television so they can pay their players a decent amount.
Right. Exactly. So they don't have to go to Russia and earn money and get trapped.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. I also was like, well, Monday for me was a big thing too, because the orange one was in court, and
and he had his nap in court yesterday.
Yeah,
someone was a little asleep. Someone went Hamu in court.
One of the things that I want to just say, and we talked to the lieutenant governor, and we bring it up all the time, Arvina, is that we respect our elders. You know, if you're 81 or 80, I mean, there's a lot of people doing things that are 80 now, as opposed to when I was a kid, when 60 was old. People are moving and grooving still at 80. And we respect our elders as natives. You know, we got a minute left. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I remember, what is the other saying, that there are some people who are elders and then there's other people that are just old.
I love that.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So. Hey, Arvina, thanks for coming on, and we've missed you. We got to have you on again and real soon. And also give a shout out real quick, your executive director of Emerge Wisconsin.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Next time on the show, our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach, author, columnist, and Renaissance man, discusses what's new on the lake and whatever else is on his mind.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.